Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer, CJ is with me as well today. And CJ was on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 liverboard with us. It was 2 years ago we did that, right?
January 08.
Yes.
Yeah.
He has it down. There's a video still floating around up there on YouTube. And it might be up there, actually, on the Scuba Radio video page still.
But it can't be. It couldn't have been January of 08. That was 4 years ago.
Was it that? No.
No, yeah. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it was.
What?
That's exactly when it was.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
See, oh, he was not on the trip that I was on.
Well, yeah, we went to the Bahamas with Explorer Ventures.
Right.
CJ went to the Turks and Caicos.
I remember.
No, I went to the Turks and Caicos. I went to the Turks and Caicos on my last liverboard.
That was the Turks and Caicos?
Yes, it was.
Where was
I? I know. You go on so many stinking trips, you can't keep in track. CJ and I get to go on a boat once in our lifetime. We remember where we went!
Well, yeah, but, I have no excuse, actually. But Clay from Explorer Ventures, it's really his fault.
He's the one, Clay.
He sends me on all these wild adventures, and it's hard to keep them straight sometimes. Right, Clay? You can relate.
I can relate. I really have absolutely no idea when the last time I went was.
Well, there you go. So
it was February. It was on the Silver Banks trip on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2. That was it.
Okay. Well, there you go. See, yeah. But that's
when you went. I don't remember when CJ went. I don't remember when Bill went. Well, I hear about that every couple of weeks, so I remember that.
Yeah, true.
Don't ever let him go again.
And let's just be clear. It's not that we don't remember. It's that we don't care. You know, just
basically.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not against them, you know. Generally, it's just against them in person. So,
that's right.
Really.
That's right. It's one of those things that when you do these adventures, these trips, that's part of what goes along with it, that you can, you know, get back and share the pictures with your dive buddy friends or even call them from the boat on the satellite.
You have 1 minute of call time remaining.
And you can say that if you only have a minute time, or you can just say, suck it.
Suck it, losers.
And that's just one of the benefits that we have. When we're doing these type of trips. So evidently we only have a minute with you, Clay, but maybe we should call him back. Is that what we have? We're on some kind of timer connection. But before I let you go, what about some specials you got at Explorer Ventures other than obviously our liverboard trip in the Turks and Caicos in October? What's on the radar right now?
Well, obviously we've got that trip. We've got our 25th anniversary specials running, which are two people for $2,500. We've got a couple spaces left on both Caribbean Explorer 2 and Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 at that amazing deal. And we've got 10% off November, December on the Carpe Vita Explorer in the Maldives. And we've got one trip doing sort of last-minute bookings October 15th on the Humboldt Explorer in Galapagos. So, and I think we've got two spaces left on that one.
Okay, well, there you go. Galapagos, that would be awesome. Well, let's reconnect with him, and in the meantime, I will, we got to talk about this Turks and Caicos Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise that we're doing with Explorer Ventures in October. There are a couple spots left on that. We've given away a lot of the spots at the dive shows, the promotion we did on Facebook. But we have a few spots left. I want to say like 2 to 4 or something like that, enough to accommodate a small group or you want a dive buddy or two. And trust me, you're going to want to come on board because even 4 years ago, every time we go on these trips, CJ, you remember what we did.
Oh, it was amazing.
A lot of it we can't even
talk. It's a diver's dream.
It's a dream, but a lot of it we can't even talk about on the radio because we talk about as much as we can. And if you go back and listen to the shows that we recorded from the deck of the boat that week, you can tell that we had the trip of a lifetime.
Are those still on? Those are still
there's
on?
Videos, wow. There's pictures and things like that.
You may want to take that down.
Yeah, maybe. But the bottom line is we had a blast. And this isn't a typical liveaboard trip. This is it's like two or three better. You know
awesome is not even close to strong enough an adjective.
And trust me, if you went to the Turks and Caicos on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 liveaboard and just did it a regular week with Explorer Adventures, it would be the trip of a lifetime.
Absolutely.
You throw in the fact that we're going to be on board doing a show.
And it's
we have
almost as good.
Dan and Betty Orr from Divers Alert Network. Exactly. They kind of offset us and what we do, but you actually get to dive with Dan from Dan.
Yeah, Dan is the info, and you're the attainment.
Literally, yeah. Dan is your buddy. I kid you not.
Absolutely.
It's quite an event in itself. And, of course, we have some mermaids on board, and we're going to have Pup, the scuba cowboy, on board as well. Now, for Pup and the mermaids that we're bringing on this trip in
a
October.
A feast for the eyes and ears.
It is. This is their first liveaboard experience. They have never been on a liveaboard trip, so they're kind of they're going to be just as excited as everybody else who comes on this
it's
trip.
Even cooler than you imagine it'll be before you go.
Yeah,
and you're like, I know this is going to be awesome.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Clay, this is my fifth time on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2 liveaboard. I believe that's right. This will be, and I am looking forward to it. You're going to join us possibly, right, Clay? Is that in the realm of possibility?
Yeah, that's the current plan. You know, you've only invited me down on one of your trips one time. I'm going to have to take you up on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of strange when the owner of the company says, you've only invited me on one of your trips, I don't know what to think of that. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you're always invited since you own the thing. Clay, that's how most people look at it. But Clay has this tendency to want to take care of all the customers and schlubs like us before he thinks of himself.
I'm really looking forward to being on the boat with Puppets, but I didn't even know that was his first liveaboard trip. I had no idea of that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time hanging around with you. That gets old. But
yeah, exactly. I can. Well, and like I said, I bring along all this extra stuff to offset the negatives that I bring to the vessel. And that includes, on top of all the stuff I just mentioned, I have a tendency to bring a few giveaways and things for everybody on the boat as well. Some people have went home very happy and over their weight limit, a late weight allowance on the way home from some of these adventures. But it's been well worth, you know, the extra baggage.
I got a Dan shirt on that trip.
You got a Dan shirt.
I remember that.
Well, that's Dan Good.
That is.
You awesome. Got one. Yeah, so there might be a few of those. October 6th through the 13th, just call up Clay and the gang there at Explorer Ventures, 1-800-322-3577, or go to exploreventures.com where you can get info on that trip and all the other adventures that we mentioned. Did we get to all of them, Clay? You mentioned the Galapagos and some of the other itineraries. Was there anything else you wanted to highlight that's on your radar right now, or any dive reports you're getting from any of the vessels from around the world, or what?
Well, we're getting dive reports every week, and everything's going really well. The the Maldives trip, they've been people have been having a great time. We've had a bunch of U.S. charters going down there in the last couple months, enjoying themselves, and Galapagos. Well, what can you say about that?
Yes, just that I want to go back.
Comes back, not every week with seeing the orcas and the mantas together like you did, but nonetheless some pretty high end, very cool stuff.
Yeah, well, I just want to go back and see if I even if I saw like 20% of what I saw my last Galapagos trip, it would be well worth the time, the effort, the adventure, and those places are a little harder to get to travel wise and stuff, but man, are they worth it. Galapagos and Maldives. Yep. We've done the Turks and Caicos trip. I've been fortunate enough to go on that trip a few times now because we're in Florida and it's relatively easy to get there and the time commitment's a little less and that kind of thing, so it's a little more convenient. But not to offset that either. I mean, that's just a great trip. Easy diving, bathtub diving when we're going to be going in October. Crystal clear water, flat calm seas, the winds haven't picked up for the winter season, and the scenery, some of the sandbars will just blow your mind. So whatever you pick, just go to exploreventures.com and you'll thank us many times over for years to come. And then hopefully you'll be that person who can come back and say, hey, hey, you didn't get to do that, and I did. And, you know, I'm looking at Bill and CJ right now, and they're just looking down, all depressed, like, gosh, why couldn't I be him? If I could just one day, if I could be Greg.
Actually, what I'm thinking is, how sad is my life that one day I hope to be Greg?
CJ's kind of looking at me more like, look, if I cut him, maybe I'll be able to get his spot.
I'm wondering if the keys in my pocket are sharp enough.
Maybe.
Doesn't that kind of look like another basal cell thing on his neck
there? Hey, no, quit it.
Yeah, I better take that out.
You guys are mean. That was cheap.
Easily one of the coolest experiences you could ever have.
Absolutely. October 6th through the 13th. Call them up, 1-800-322-3577. More coming up, including dolphin stuff, next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into ScubaRadio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at ScubaRadio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
I've written quite a bit of X-Men fan fiction. Captain Mutato is half man, half mermaid, so he can fight crime as a man and make love as a mermaid. Most of my writing involves the latter.
Can't swim, so I took a boat to an island so remote. Only Johnny Depp has ever been to it before. I stayed there till the air was clear. I was bored and out of tears. Then I saw you washed up on the shore.
Well, is it true? Could it be true that is CJ right that a mermaid's actually come from a unholy union between amorous dolphin and a diver?
There's no other explanation.
Stinky.
They're part human, part they have a tail. So I mean, not fish, but mammal.
Yeah, and I think we've determined that our mermaids, our Scuba Radio mermaids, are definitely mammals.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a pod of Scuba Radio mermaids that we travel with when we're out and about at events.
But they lay eggs.
No, they don't lay eggs.
I remember being at a New Year's Eve where the egg was being released.
Oh, yeah, that was
coral spawning.
Yeah, I think that was something else. I don't think that was her egg.
Oh, okay.
No, no. But we do have Mermaid Lacey on the line to help.
She would know.
Shed some light on this whole dolphin thing, because she works with them down in the Florida Keys in some capacity. Right, Lacey? How are you? Lacey.
I'm good. How are you, Greg?
I'm great. So you are kind of, well, first of all, before we continue on, we got to say congratulations to Mermaid Lacey, who just got hitched. She is now unofficially hitched a mermaid, and congratulations to her and her merman, Alex.
This is what they warned us about first. Men can marry men, and now men can marry mermaids.
Well, he's a merman, I think. I don't know. Well, he's something.
We're very inclusive.
I don't know. I don't think he would be jealous of Alex the dolphin there in the Caymans.
I really like my cat. Can we get married?
Okay, moving on. Anyway, Lacey, you're down there in the Keys, and when you're not doing
thank you for the congratulations.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why he has fleas.
Oh, boy. You're down there in the Keys, and in between your mermaiding thing that you do for us, you actually have a real job and work at a place at Theater of the Sea, a nice little marine park. Doing what? You're working with dolphins and everything, right? Turtles, God knows what. Fill me in.
Yes, at Theater of the Sea, we do have a bunch of different animals. We've got dolphins, sea lions. I work in the department with the sea turtles, the fish, the sharks, stingrays, a couple of alligators, and a crocodile.
Wow. Just all of the above. She's like Mrs. Mm-hmm. Doolittle almost or something. She talks to the animals, swims with them. God knows what else, but it's a good thing. Now we were talking about this dolphin thing earlier in the week, Lacey, and I called you because I know you know you work with some of the dolphins down there. Mermaid Kelsey is down there as well with her, and she's actually one of the dolphin people and really knows how they act.
She knows how to turn them on.
Well, no, I don't think that's the case. I was surprised when I saw this video about this amorous dolphin getting a little freaky with a diver. That's not common, is it? It's pretty rare that happens, but there's situations where you want to avoid dolphins in the wild like that, or what? What's your take on that? Or what do you guys know from working with them down there in Key Largo or Tavernier?
Well, I'm not sure if I can say that it's rare or that it's common, but I think that something like this.
What, are you keeping secrets for the dolphins? Did they say, shh, don't tell anybody?
Well, would you?
You can't tell if it's rare or common or not?
They're not going to kiss and tell? Come on.
No, I'm just saying that I'm not sure to say whether or not that's a rare situation, but I think that for the most part it is. And usually that sort of thing comes out of a situation where maybe a dolphin is used to interacting with people, which is not necessarily a good thing, especially when they're out in the wild. You don't really want them to be too used to interacting with people. They lose their natural fear of people, and that could encourage them to approach divers in a way that you wouldn't want them to be approaching you up.
And do you have any way or suggestion on how we can attempt to look less attractive to a dolphin?
Or nope. Is Greg doing pretty well already on his own without any extra special help?
Yes, a little less rouge, maybe.
Maybe act like a touchdown. The dolphins can't seem to get a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't like that one. Anyway, so, I don't know. But they are very amorous animals. They're very social animals. And
Greg, this is just like when your German shepherd humps the ottoman. Except it's underwater, and the ottoman's a diver.
And so,
and the dog's a dolphin.
Greg, I never knew you had a German shepherd.
I don't.
Why, whichever German shepherd is at your house humping your ottoman then? Do you have the neighbors come over? That makes no sense.
I go over to CJ's house, and then...
You hump
when
his
I said
ottoman.
Your, I meant, you know, humanity in general.
Oh, exactly. But, I mean, yeah, you have the general things. Like, yeah, you don't want to be feeding dolphins, you know, food off your boat, and you hear all these stories... in places
not.
Like that, that's bad. That's bad.
Stop
karma. That's
putting
not
bait
good.
in your wetsuit.
Yeah, that might be an attractant, possibly. I guess that you could avoid doing. But yeah, what? but let's get
ballyhoo in my short.
Let's get back on track though, Lacey. So what are some of the things that you're doing down there in Florida or Theater by the Sea? when it comes to working with the animals, like feeding them or caring for them? Or are you part of some of the show stuff they do down there or what?
Yeah, a little bit of all of the above. When it comes to what I do at Theater of the Sea, all of our animals obviously have to get fed. So, yes, I'm involved in feeding them and caring for them. And I do a show when I'm working there, which is called the Guided Marine Life Tour. That's where I introduce all the people to our different animals, like our sea turtles and our fish, our crocodilians.
So, okay,
so you do a show, and it's called the Guided Marine Tour. That's hot.
Okay, and let's just be clear. She's introducing them to the marine life. This is not like a matchmaker thing.
Has Pee Wee Herman ever been there?
What?
Nothing.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Yeah,
no.
Really. Come on. That's just
wrong. Nurse sharks. Nurse sharks.
What is wrong
Never mind.
With you? All right, but when you're introducing...
What are you feeding to him, Greg?
Obviously,
bad fish,
yeah. Oysters,
dolphin. He has mahi mahi
some
today.
Boiled
sandwich.
Fish.
Yeah, blackened fish sandwich.
Oh, actually, he made you a conch pistol sandwich today. That was very nice.
Oh,
that was
boy.
Delicious.
No, that's not right. But when you're introducing the people to the animals, you're trying to educate them as like what their habitat is and what to do if you see them in the wild, that kind of thing, or what? A little bit of all of the above.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the big things that we really try to work on at Theater of the Sea is conservation, and that entails all of the animals that we have. Any kind of conservation that we talk about in any of our shows is for the good and well-being of every type of animal that we have at Theater of the Sea, and, you know, way beyond what we have at Theater of the Sea.
It's really a nice park. You need to go down there in the Upper Keys and check it out. Theater of the Sea. Just Google it and you can find it right there. More coming up.
Scuba Radio. Scuba. Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Just a bit, we're going to try to connect with Dublin, Ireland, and talk to a guy there at a dive shop who's actually been down on the Titanic twice. Not once, but twice. And he's worked with some film projects surrounding the Titanic on some underwater footage just below the surface, as well as going 2.5 miles down. It's an impressive feat in itself to say that you've done it once, but to say you've done it twice... we're going to talk to him. He has some pretty interesting insights on what many consider the ultimate dive. And, you know, I was talking to him when we set this up. I said, what do you think? You think someday they'll actually come out with the technology that will allow us to dive 2.5 miles below the surface, you know, on a rebreather or something? And, you know, I was talking to someone a couple weeks ago. You know that scene in Titanic, The Abyss? Where he inhales the liquid oxygen. You remember this scene, guys?
I do, but it's not my favorite scene from The Abyss, but go on.
Well, you know, when I saw that, I was like, wow, can you do this? Can you actually...
You know, Jacqueline Bisset wasn't even in this scene.
That was The Deep.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. And
forget it. I didn't even like The Abyss. Move
so,
on.
So, no, instead of air, you breathe this oxygenated... water like you were when you were a baby in the womb, right?
Try that.
Like,
see what happens.
Well, I was thinking like, wow, you can do this. This is amazing. This will be so cool.
It's a
you
movie.
Know? Right. And then I found out like, yeah, the underwater scenes
three
were
actors,
on a soundstage.
Three actors
done.
Drowned.
But literally.
Greg, you know what? I don't want to be the one to tell you, but no Death Star in real life either.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to tell you that 2 weeks ago, I'm talking to somebody in the military. Who's involved with the SEALs and all this stuff? And he said that that water thing that they did in the Abyss does exist, and they have done it.
It's helicopters. Helicopters
did you hear
over
what
the
I,
building.
Did
now.
You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't tell anybody. But he told me that it actually does exist. They have that technology, and they use it sometimes.
It's called Jell-O.
Jell-O, it is not. It's oxygenated water. that we can breathe that would allow us to dive down to Titanic. To
death, but your head would implode.
No, because it's all filled with water. And,
never impossible.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Well, like I always say, onward and downward.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving liquid oxygen, like from the abyss, the movie The Abyss. I have been told it does exist. They can do this. And I don't know where, you know, he said, you know, I can't really tell you much other than that, other than they can do it. And they have done it. And he is evidently one of the people that has done it. And I'm like, really? What are you
looking? I'm looking up something here online.
Are you Googling it? And
yeah,
seeing
it says, this one website says, what you saw in the abyss is true, but it's not liquid oxygen. It's a fluorocarbon saturated with oxygen.
Okay. Fluorocarbon saturated, whatever the hell that means, which is liquid with oxygen. Well, that's what we'll go with. It exists. So I'm telling you that I wonder if, I don't know if that would be the technology to do it, but I wonder if, maybe one of these days we'll get to a situation where, you know, if you want to dive the Titanic, maybe that'll be the bridge that gets us there.
Well, the only problem is it exists at 118 degrees Celsius.
So you're full of liquid oxygen, but you're burnt to a crisp. Maybe you're cooled down because it's going to be really cold down there, too. So I don't know.
It says it would kill you if you were to inhale it, not because it's toxic, but because its temperature is below 180 degrees Celsius.
Well, this guy was an alien, I think, that was telling me this. He also said, that they're amongst us, that kind of stuff.
See, I'm getting all kinds of different temperatures, and this one says minus 222 degrees
Celsius. Well, it could happen. It could happen. You know, yeah. I'm just saying. I don't know what technology it would be, whether it's that or not. But that's what I was talking to this guy about. Like, maybe someday.
Oh, this one says, as far as breathing it, only if you want to crystallize your lungs. So if that was the goal.
Yeah. Well, the Mir 1 and Mir 2, these submarines that they take down to the Titanic, when you really look at their mechanics of what they are, we've talked about this on the show before, they're actually just really large rebreathers. That's what their systems are kind of compared to. They're just like a submersible rebreather, scrubbing the oxygen and all that kind of stuff. It makes it possible for them to take the air down that they need, I believe. Rory is on the line from Dublin, Ireland. He is on Scuba Radio right now. Rory, how are you? Welcome.
Thank you very much, guys, and good afternoon to you over there, and good evening from over here in Ireland.
Yes, it's a late Saturday night there in Dublin, Ireland. He's, by the way, flagshipscuba.com. You can go there. Flagshipscuba.com is Rory's dive center there in Dublin. And, you know, you've been on these submarines that have dove for the Titanic twice, which is an amazing feat in itself, Roy. And we've been talking a little bit about the technology. Am I right in describing those submarines as giant rebreather systems? Is that how you guys are managing that, or do you know? Is that a fair comparison?
I think that's a reasonable comparison to make. They're extreme one-atmosphere rebreathers that take three persons on board. And you're just breathing pure air. You're not breathing any gas mixes.
Yeah, it's just they're definitely amazing pieces of technology. And And the fact that you've done this twice, first of all, I guess we should go back and find out how you ended up doing it in the first place. Were you just working at a dive shop and someone said, hey, you want to go dive the Titanic? How did this all come to be for you exactly?
If only life were that simple, gentlemen.
Yes.
No, my story goes back to when I started diving in 1976 and over the years became very involved in the Irish Diving Federations. And in 1988, we brought a man who I think you know, who has since departed, as Ralph White.
Yeah.
Came to Ireland to talk about the Titanic. He was there when Titanic was found in 1985. And in 1988, he came to Ireland to speak at the diving conference, and he and I became very close friends over the next 20 years. In 1999, having gone through the whole recreational diving world and a bit of commercial diving, and indeed technical diving, the late Rob Palmer actually trained me as a Trimix diver in 1994. I left the music industry where I'd been for the previous 20-odd years, and started my diving business. And 1999 August, I left Virgin Records, having been terminated as the record industry was imploding then. And 1 year later, I was looking at the bow of the Titanic, and that was thanks to Ralph White, who was going back with RMS Titanic Inc., who owned the rights to the ship, and he put my name forward as dive safety operations manager on that.
Very
and
nice.
That's how that came about. That's in a very speedy version is what happened.
So sure. Anyone who's qualified to be a dive safety officer could also get fired by Virgin Records, is what you're saying. The list of job requirements are the same.
Hmm. Maybe.
Gee, thanks, guys. In fact, I also owe it to the man who signed his letter of appointment to me. Was Mike Harris, who I'm sure you all know over there. He's from Clearwater. He had the Titanic exhibition in Orlando for many years.
Right, yeah. Well, it's still there, isn't it? Don't we still have that here in Orlando? Or maybe I'm not aware. We used to have it, definitely.
Yeah, it's changed. I think it's changed hands.
I think it's changed, okay.
Yeah, Mike Harris was the man who gave me the break the first time, and the second time I went back was with BBC Northern Ireland to make a documentary about bringing memorial plaques from Belfast, which was obviously Titanic city of birth.
Mm-hmm.
And we were bringing these to leave beside the one that I had left 5 years previously, that I had brought from Cove in the south of Ireland, or Queenstown as it was then, which was Titanic's last port of call.
And now, see, I think going back's an easy thing. I really do. I don't think it's hard to go back. You go through all the rigmarole the first time, but once you're there the first time, you say, oh, I've got to go back. I left my sunglasses.
Nah, I don't think it works like that.
No, it's not quite that easy?
Yeah, there's this whole Russian thing. You got to get all these hoops, a lot of hoops, to be able to dive the Titanic. Right, Roy? Am I correct there or what?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly couldn't have afforded to pay for it myself. I mean,
exactly.
I have been extremely lucky.
Yeah.
I've been so lucky. The older I get and I realize the incredible experience and the privilege I've had to actually descend to nearly 4,000 meters or 2.5 miles below the surface of the ocean. More people, and it's a cliche now, but it's true, more people have been to outer space than to the depths of the ocean that I've been lucky to have been to.
Yeah.
And that in itself is something that I owe an awful lot of people to. It's a privilege, and it's something to be able to see so many feet away from you, the bow of the world's most famous shipwreck.
Which brings up a very interesting point, I think, Rory. Why didn't they sink it in a more convenient place?
Well, you know, those icebergs, what can I say? You know, they came from Greenland. Hell.
Stupid Vikings.
Jeez. Well, yeah, and by the way, we're talking about Rory Gordon, from flagshipscuba.com. Go there. There's information on this adventure right there on his website. And you're touring around the UK giving speeches on this, which, by the way, is the centennial anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, right?
Well, actually, yeah. In fact, 1 week ago, on the 1st of September, 27 years ago, Titanic was actually found. So we are in the centenary year of its discovery. Or the centenary year of its sinking and the 27th year of its original discovery. And I've been asked to give a series of talks around the United Kingdom at the end of this month. And in fact, I will also be speaking at the well-known Birmingham International Dive Show at the end of October. So it's something that I look forward to doing, because when I give my presentation, I actually relive the whole experience. And it's great to share that with people, especially kids. Kids love the story. They're fascinated by it.
Yeah.
And it's great to get their questions. You know, you get the usual questions like, do you see any sharks down there? Or, have you found any treasure? Or have you found any bodies? But yet last night I did a talk in a local yacht club, and this 10-year-old said to me, do you know the real reason that they went looking for the Titanic first? And I said, I do. Do you? And he said, yeah. I said, what is that? It was a cover story because the American Navy wants to find two submarines, the Thresher and the Scorpion, got lost at sea. And now there's a kid that did his homework.
There you go. Yeah, it's always the kids that bring it all home. FlagshipScuba.com. Check it out. Good stuff.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
We got to
get down, get down.
Got to
get down.
So diving the Titanic, that would be cool. But, you know, going down there, you're protected by that submarine. But you go down there, you see, some marine life, and it's never seen a human being before because we haven't been down there that deep. And maybe...
Actually, 100 years ago, it saw a whole bunch of human beings.
Well, not that we're alive and... You know, kicking.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And you know, a dolphin swimming around. You know, I don't even know if they can go that deep. Can they go that deep?
I don't know that dolphins go down.
Yeah. But if some other marine life critter saw a person, you know, how would they react? Would they be afraid of them? Would they go check them out? Or, you know. I've always, you know.
Probably they, lick them.
Lick them?
See what they taste like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's always been.
Like the owl and the.
One,
a two,
three,
a three.
Yeah. You know, there's this theory of...
Tootsie Pop, that's what I was thinking.
Or, you know, way of thinking where a lot of people believe that, you know, when you go to remote locations and the sharks or the fish or whatever have never seen a human being before, and they come to, you know, they experience humans for the first time. Other than size, they aren't shy. Like the lobsters won't go hide, the fish won't go hide away because they don't know that it is something they should fear unless the fish are smaller, then they have a natural reaction to hide if they see something bigger than them that might potentially eat them. But if it's something that's bigger than the diver or same as the diver, they just look at it as some kind of other weird-looking fish in the sea. You know, I just wonder if that would apply, you know, when we someday are able to dive down as deep as Titanic. And then, you know, do you have to worry about, are they going to react to you in a way like, hey, maybe I can mate with this thing, like Stinky?
So, just so I understand, you believe the biggest hurdle to overcome will not be the incredible pressure, but whether or not the fish like us when we go down.
Skull-caving pressure.
Well, no, I'm just saying anywhere where it's remote or deep like that, and the fish or the marine life have not seen you, you know, is there a potential for more problems like Stinky?
No, I would think...
You think Stinky learned this behavior?
I would think it would
behavior?
Be the opposite. I would think because they haven't seen you before, they're kind of leery.
So they would have to see you, get to know you first.
Unless you're diving naked. We're going to go through this whole thing. Let's just assume you're diving naked.
Well, I don't know.
They are a fan of dangly bits. Most fish.
But I don't know if in an arousing way that is the case. Is it? I don't know. Bill, please explain. You seem to know more about this subject than you led on to at the beginning.
Well, let's start with this. Most fish don't have direct contact
with
the males and the females.
What do you mean?
Like
when they spawn, they just swim up next to each other and swim through the goo or
the
whatever.
The eggs are one place, and then
that's why they get along so well.
Boy, okay. Fish expects so little.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for those stupid seahorses.
Oh, yeah. Well,
sharks making us all look bad, you carrying know, their babies around in their stomachs.
Oh, if I could, I totally them. Would, but I can't.
I don't know.
What are you going to do?
Stinky, this dolphin in Cayman. I don't know what to think of that, really. I mean, and could this be another, you know, could
sign
it be
of
a
the
trend?
Apocalypse?
Could maybe lead to the invention of the underwater taser?
It might.
Or underwater dolphin pepper spray.
Yeah, my Nautilus lifeline might. Maybe I should incorporate.
You need a new button on that sucker.
I need to put a taser on this puppy. Yeah.
New button.
Little spray cane of mace.
We need to telepathically figure out how to communicate to a dolphin. I don't think this is working out. It's not you. It's me.
Not interested. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think of you more as a brother of the sea.
Or okay, look.
Think of you more as a wild marine mammal.
But let's say Stinky does come up to you, Bill, and you're diving. What are you going
to
do?
It's not fair to ask me.
Why?
I got a little kink about dolphins.
Okay. All right. So CJ.
Okay.
Let's say you're underwater, Stinky. You have a chance encounter with an amorous dolphin.
First thing I think is cool. Dolphin.
Yeah.
And next then thing I
he's
think,
like,
uh-oh.
Don't turn my back to them. Or
first thing I would think he was just wanted to dance.
Okay. And dance you do.
You know, like slow dance.
All right, so you want to
do the bump.
So you want to dance with him first.
Remember that.
What exactly is dolphin for, hey, you've got the moves like Jagger.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I just wonder if you should just stay still, you know,
that's bears.
Just lay there?
That's bears. That's what you do when a bear is about to maul you. You act dead.
Yeah. Lay dead. And if you just lay there, they'll go, okay.
Or is that skunks when you're about to get sprayed by
It's both. I think you... No. I think if you just lay there, that's considered quiet consent. That's how it works. That's how it works at my house.
Oh boy!
I'll take your silence. Oh, well, I'll take your silence as a yes.
Okay. Well, no one can hear your screams underwater.
I know what you could tell the dolphin.
What?
You know what? Either A, I have a headache, or B, I didn't shave my legs this dive.
All right. So let your leg hair grow, and don't bring any Tylenol with you. Shouldn't be taking any drugs while you're diving anyway. All right, so there you go. That'll do it for this week's edition, this colorful edition of the Scuba Radio. Till next week. Remember, it's always better, and I feel kind of dirty saying this after this.
Oh, now you feel dirty saying this.
Down where it's wetter. Good night, everybody. You know how to wheel here. That's why it's hot. I'm not the one. I'm not the one. I'm not the one.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.